said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Then we won't have time to go ahead and read the account. Every day, the first 6 days, God was creating. And it's interesting that God just spoke it. The word Elohim, which means God can form without a means. He just speaks it into existence. God, the creator God. But then in these texts also, we see the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, because Jesus is the light of the world. And they spoke it into existence. But let's look down in verse 27, this same chapter, and we'll see that. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So let's look, if we can, at the value of a soul. Let's look at the value of a soul from God's perspective. God's the creator, so he saw the value of a soul. That he created man to worship him in the image of God. And we'll take up that account in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So the value of a soul, God says, a soul is precious in my sight. And in this verse of scripture, we see how God created man in detail. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God had created everything he had, and at the end of the day, he would say, and he looked at the day and everything he created, it was good. It reminds us God can do nothing but good, even when he judges the world of sin. And even when he judges the sinner, we'd have to say that God is good. In him is no darkness at all. And God created now the soul of man, which is real. In the image of God, we see, of course, God the Father. And then there was God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. The three are one. So God says, let's make man in our image. So God created a soul. That is a real you. That is a real me, that God created a soul. And just as though God was been forever and he'll be forever in the future, but now there is a beginning with man. He spoke the word and he reached down and got a lump of the soil that already had made and he formed it. Can you imagine? Now God had been speaking and he spoke the animals into existence. He spoke the moon, stars, the planets, the whales. He spoke everything that he had created into existence. But now God is so careful about the soul. He takes that dust and he forms man. And there's a body. And then he wanted that man to be able to communicate with him. So he had a spirit. God is a spirit. And then man was still nothing, just an object. But the breath of God, God breathed the Holy Ghost, breathed into man, and he became a living soul. God's view of man is very special, very precious. God loves man, and God had created for man a perfect environment. There was never too cold, never too hot, and he didn't have to work. In the garden was all these trees. And then he looked, and man did not have a helpmate. All the other animals had a helpmate, a male and a female. But God says, I want to make a helpmate. So he didn't just form another woman. He said, I want the woman to be special. So he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam and remove the surgery, remove the rib from his side, and then he made woman. Can you imagine the surgery with no pain? And then that woman was a part of man. And that woman, Adam looked at that woman, and he called her woman, a part of man. And then God says, they're going to bear children. they're going to have offspring, a man and a woman. And God had created man, and he loved man, and God values that man. He breathed in a soul. The real us is a soul. The soul of man is our being. It's our mind. It's our will. Everything about us is the soul, the value of a soul, because God says he wants that soul, that real you, that to love him. It was so precious that God created man, and he wanted us to show that love. And so he created all the beauty that man had had inhabited. And now he thinks, you know, all this beauty, then man will worship me. And just one rule, don't eat of the forbidden fruit. Satan entered the picture, of course, and Satan is a deceiver, a liar, and he comes down and, of course, tries to infect, and he did, and now Adam and Eve had sinned because they had done despite what God had said. And now they had a child. They had another child. And isn't it interesting that there was only two? And we heard a wonderful message the other night about those two boys, Cain and Abel, and how Cain did not respect the offerings, the blood offerings, and just two boys, and one of them sinned, an awful sin. He killed his brother. Of course, Adam, their father, and Eve, their mother, had sinned, had transgressed, but God forgave them. Remember, he took the skins of an animal, which was shedding the blood, and he offered those skins for a covering of their sin. And they willingly accepted that. And in receiving the skins of the animal who had shed its blood, had given its life, it was a type of course, the Lord Jesus Christ that would one day come and give his life for the sins of the world. So accepted God's offering, and God forgave because God loved the soul. And then, of course, because of their sins, one of the boys sinned. And a lot of people say, well, if God knew that man would sin, man had to sin. No. You see, God created man with the ability to sin, but not the necessity to sin. But he knew man would sin and transgress. And Satan was that evil influence. But now let's look at the value that we human beings place upon the soul. Because we realize a lot of times what God places the emphasis on. God so lovingly forgives when men make mistakes. If we will have a blood sacrifice, and that blood sacrifice was paid at Calvary, he was a sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God, and he shed his blood. So when we accept that, and when we believe the report, and know that Jesus Christ loves us, died for our sins, and he resurrected, went to heaven. And if we believe that and accept that and ask forgiveness, God saves our soul. So when the Holy Ghost moves within the human heart and convicts us of a sin, wait a minute. You say, man, sin, we were born dead in trespasses and sin, because Eve is the mother of all living, and every one of us were born in sin. Say, I had a good parent, so did I. Had great grandparents, so did I, but I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity because of Adam and Eve. We're all born sinners. But then when we read the report and we hear the preached word, and the Holy Ghost comes by and convicts us and breathes into our soul the need, that conviction that we are sinners, and whatever that age is, the Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. He convicts sinners. I was 12 years old when God convicted me of my sin. My mother, a loving mother as she was, had tried to talk me into getting saved at 9 years old, as we were walking 2 miles to a morning revival service. In those days, we had morning and night services, didn't we, Brother Charles? He came from the same part of and most of the churches in the neck of the woods and around the country did. Revival came, it was morning and night, usually for 2 weeks. So we walk, and as we're walking to church that morning, the whole trip, Mom's telling me that I'm old enough to get saved. It fell on deaf ears. Why? Because the Holy Ghost had not convicted me yet of my sin. But wanting to be obedient to my father, and peer pressure is something that will get children in trouble, parents in trouble. So when the preacher stopped preaching, and I don't know what he preached, Mom, I was sitting beside her, and she started crying and looking over, and son, you need to get saved. Well, want to be an obedient child, I went to the altar, and if I stayed there a minute, I stayed there an hour. And the preachers prayed with me, and Mom prayed with me, and finally, get up, do this, do that, and I got up, still lost. Didn't understand what was going on. But when I was 12 years old, sat down in the second pew, the Holy Ghost came back. And he told me I was a sinner. He didn't just leave at that point. He told me how to believe in my heart, in my soul. Mom couldn't do that, you see. And your mom and dad, no matter how good they are, and the preacher, no matter how good he may be preaching, we cannot tell a sinner how to be saved. The Holy Ghost is the one that breathed into that soul, the breath of life. And the Holy Ghost breathes upon a lost individual and shows them in their soul, in their intellect, in their will, in their heart, how to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we accept that and follow the Holy Ghost, we're saved. So man accepts the fact that a soul is precious. Actually look at yourself. Let's have an in-depth look of yourself. What are we? Of course, we're pilgrims and strangers passing through this weary world, but it's more than that. You see, as we're going through this weary world, we as a soul are going to live forever. There was a beginning. My mother and dad, my mother birthed me, and that was my beginning. There is no ending. I'm going to spend eternity. We may live down here 50, 60, 70, 80 years, maybe even 100. Brother, they were showing me, and I'd already read that their Bible school invites all ages up to 100 years old to come to Bible school. And, of course, that was fitting there in gesture. If you're 101, you're still invited. But, obviously, the Bible school committee really figured in reality most of us won't even approach 100 years old. Some of us may. But you see, eventually we will die. But what are we? We're going through this life. And what is the value of a soul to man? Well, Jesus helps us a little bit on that. In fact, he helps us a lot. And let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. God knows the value of a soul. He forgave Adam and Eve. He forgave everyone that ever trusted in him. But he wants to help man understand the value of a soul, because a lot of people obviously don't. The Holy Ghost convicts them of sin, and I've talked to people, and you have too, who rejected that and did not want to participate in the plan of God because their life, their worldliness was more valuable to them than salvation. They did not value a soul, only the value that they would have in this short life compared to eternity. So Jesus speaks in Matthew 16 and verse 24. And if you turn on television today and you hear, no matter who they are, and they're talking about the news, and they found out that it kind of wastes your time. They're not speaking as much about what has happened as what they think will happen. And, of course, no man knows that, so I don't watch a lot of that. But when Jesus speaks, we can understand every word he says, and we understand those words are so precious. The Bible says in Matthew 16, 24, that Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That seems simple enough, doesn't it? Jesus, the Son of God, was there with the Father, the Holy Ghost, the three of them, breathing to the first man the breath of life, and they forgave, and Jesus was going to go to the cross, and in our life he has gone to the cross, he paid the price, and he said, if any man, that's a soul, of course, because the soul, the will, the intellect is the real us. And if that person will understand who Jesus is and take up the cross or the works, what God wants us to do. And at the time saying, Lord, thy will be done. Now, Jesus taught us in the model prayer that we call it, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Set apart, reverence, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And we look at that prayer. And first of all, we realize as a soul who he is. He created us. Who are we? What's the importance of a soul? He said, if we'll look to him. And Jesus is saying, if any man, a soul, will look to me and know that I died for their sins, I'll forgive their sins, and that soul will live in heaven or in hell, depending upon whether or not you follow me. He keeps reading. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. So we look at life, we look at the day, and a lot of people's got their life all planned out, and their mind, which is their soul, their will, and they want their will to be done. And Jesus is saying, no, you have to let the Father, the Creator, decide your life, your will. And if you will come to me and ask forgiveness, and then look at the value I place upon your life, and be willing to lose your will, and let me replace your will with my will, because his will is a million times better than our will, because he has a perfect will for every one of our life. And he says, shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Isn't that simple? God has a plan for us. And all we have to do is submit ourselves to him. And so doing, we'll leave behind our will, because he's a creator. He's one that gave us our life and our soul. It's going to live forever. And he wants to have a wonderful experience with us, and we want to experience salvation as we go along. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. The value of a soul. Jesus is saying, you're in this body, this earthly body, just for a season, just for such a short while, compared to eternity and all I've got planned for you all the way, not during eternity, but remember the beginning with Adam and all the future of our life. And say you live to be 70 or 80 down here, a small percentage of a time you're going to be with him. So why would not we value a soul as he did and as he does, and give our heart to him and ask forgiveness and let him direct our life, and then the rewards come with it. A soul is precious to God, and the soul should be precious to man. And if it is, then we will give our lives to him. So we've looked at the value of a soul by God and hopefully by man. But I want to look at the vision of a soul. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. You say, can the soul see? Of course, the soul is a real me. And God gave me two eyes, of course, but this is an intellectual thing. This is the soul, the will of man. And look carefully at this passage that we read, verse 15 through 21. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes, here's our vision, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Our understanding is our will, our intellect, our soul. And God wants to help those eyes, those spiritual eyes of understanding, being enlightened, being empowered, being instructed, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Remember what the scripture says, his calling for us, that we accept it. How do you know the will of God? If we'll trust him, that vision will be so clear that you couldn't miss it. You might argue against it, but you couldn't miss it because it will be so clear, that vision of his glory in your life, what he wants to do, a vision of a soul, you might say, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He'll help us understand as we go through life, his vision for our soul, because he's got a vision and we can understand, we can see it. And he said, I pray for you that your soul will be, your understanding, your will be enlightened, or you will let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you after you surrender your will to his will. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the workings of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. An enlightening of the soul, a vision of the soul. God's vision, not my vision, not your vision, because we are too nearsighted. And we can't see even today, but God wants to enable us, to enlighten us, to go about this life and this temporal life that we may enjoy the riches. So we've looked at the value of a soul, we've looked at the vision of a soul, but I want to look at the victorious life. A lot of people think it's such a drudgery, it's such a hard thing to let God rule your life. No, it is the enjoyable life. Let's look at the victorious opportunities we have in this life that God could set us apart and use us for his glory, for his honor in this life. We realize that none of us are going to be forever. Not here. Remember, a beginning without an end. There'll be an end this life. My son Michael went on to be with the Lord. My father, my mother, my grandparents, and many of you just like me, they've gone to be with the Lord. There was an end in this physical life, but a new beginning without end if they had surrendered their life, if they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days when he comes, and he could come today, and we know he's soon coming because in the last days, perilous times shall come. Look around as they seem like they've come already. And it's going to get worse. And because he said it's going to get worse. Sin will get worse. And then we realize that he's coming in the middle of night. It'll be night somewhere. Maybe the sunshine where you and I live. But he's going to come and he's going to call his saints home. Those that have believed in him. Those that have understood the value of a soul. That this soul God loves enough to give his son. Once we understand that and accept that, and I can't make you understand it, and I couldn't make myself understand it. That's not my job. It's a Holy Ghost job, and he does it well, convicts the heart. And then he shows us and understands, give your life unto him. Trust him, not only for salvation, but to get us through this wicked, weary world with victory. Can you have victory in a wicked world? Yeah, because the joy, Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it may be sad to look around, but then when you enjoy the things of God and you let the value of a soul beam up and give you an enlightenment by the Holy Ghost, that it's a personal thing. And the peace that he gives is without ability to understand. There is no words that you and I can say to describe the peace, the tranquility, the safety in Christ Jesus. Although the world is going their way and there's nothing we can do about it, because unless the Holy Spirit does it, it won't get done. But he'll do it with willing vessels, with willing hearts. But then when he calls us home, he'll come and he'll call us home. And we'll be there while the world is going through chaos. Those 7 years, and we think we're worried now, the world is worried about all the economy and everything, and another recession, and another recession, and it's getting bad. But hey, soul can be happy in the Lord because we know he's soon coming. And then think of a place called heaven. We're there at the marriage supper of the Lamb while the world is going through all the chaos. But then we get to come back with him, and he's going to rule and reign on planet Earth for 1,000 years, and we'll be with him. But then he's going to take us all home, and the Satan will be locked up forever. Satan, of course, and all those people, the souls that would not repent while they had mortal life, while they were living in a human body, they'll be cast into a place in outer darkness. You and I can be with the Lord forever. Victory in Christ Jesus. Would you come to the piano? Miss Brenda, it's so good to have you back with us. She's been sick. And Brother Ray, to come to the piano. And just stand this morning and let the Lord speak to your heart. Fathers, we're thankful for you. God gave me this message before I even dawned on me that it was going to be Father's Day this day. And I had arranged with Miss Rita and the boys a day that they could play that song for me. I didn't even realize, but it goes pretty well, doesn't it, with the Father's Day, because he, the Father, created us. And then our charge as fathers is to rear our family in the house of God, to teach them right from wrong, to teach them that there is a God. And remember, this evolution started by Satan many, many years ago. And if people accept the fact of evolution, that we didn't have a creator, they knew that they would say, well, if we were not created by God, then man didn't fall in the garden. If he didn't fall, he doesn't need a savior. And that is the mentality of the world today. But you see, God teaches, I created man with a soul, and I love him so much, I gave my son, Christ Jesus, to forgive sins. That's how much I value a soul. And if he can speak the words, and he can, to enable men to understand that, then they will give their hearts to God, and they will see the vision he has for each one of us. And that vision is, the soul is precious. Teach your children so they can teach their children the value of a soul, so they can get saved and go to heaven and live a victorious life in Christ Jesus. Not only in this world, but in a place called heaven, the victory. Altar is open. What a wonderful opportunity it would be to give your heart and life to the Lord on a Father's Day. If you're not saved this morning, would you come? Would you bow? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you created us in your image. You created a soul with a will, with an opportunity to have a vision, with an opportunity to be victorious, not only in this world, but in a place called heaven. You gave men a choice. You gave them a will. And I pray that we will submit our will to your will, so we can say, as Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done in heaven and in earth. We know it's being carried out in heaven, and we know your will wants to be perfected in the heart and the soul of man, and can be if we will be submissive and obedient to your will. Thank you, Father, for your plan. Thank you for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our God. We worship you, we adore you, and we trust you for all you've done, for what you're doing. Help us to be more Christ-like. Forgive our sins. Heal our land. And help us, Father, to value this soul, even as you taught us in your precious word. In thy name we pray with thanksgiving and adoration. Amen.